The first reading this morning comes from Psalms 84, beginning in the first verse. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your court is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and at the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The word of the Lord.
Thank you for standing for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
So Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty and have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit. To worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always with us. And we ask now, Lord, that you would speak to us and that we would hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So this whole month, we've been focusing together on the vision that God has given us as a church for the future, what he's calling us to do, who he's calling us to be as we move forward together. And he's been giving us some clear direction in where we're heading and where he's specifically calling us to minister. And specifically, he's given us the vision to be the local church and to reach out intentionally into the local target neighborhoods. And if you'll remember, those three target neighborhoods are Lynxbrook, immediately south, Collins Creek, just a little bit farther south, and the Bay is sort of directly behind me, a little bit west of us. And we're excited to be stepping into this calling to truly be the local church for these local communities, to connect with those who don't know Jesus or who are distant from him and his church, and to partner with these neighborhoods to love and support and empower people who live there. He's given us the calling and the specific charge to partner with the Thrive Assisted Living Facility opening just down the street, opening, I believe, this week, right? Official open house is this week, to minister to the staff and the residents and families in that place. He's calling us to expand the community life group ministry through the addition of at least two additional groups in the coming year. And he's given us the concrete step of us as a congregation making 200 personal invitations to people in our lives to participate in the life and ministry of Christ Church. We're called to intentionally reach out in Jesus' name to people right here around us. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at an example in Jesus' life when he did the very same thing, something very similar to what he's calling us to do as individuals and as a congregation. So if you would, turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, which was read today. And we're going to look at how Jesus reached out to someone in his life, very similar to the sorts of things that he's calling us to do in our local community here. So John chapter 4. First, Jesus reached out by going where non-believers would be. Jesus reached out by going where non-believers would be. Look at verse 3. Jesus left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And then verse 4, he had to pass through Samaria. I'm going to give you a very short, I promise, geography lesson. Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other, didn't associate each other. Ethnically, they were from the same groups, but at some point in their history, the Samaritans sort of married other people, and the Jews and the Samaritans really didn't like each other for that purpose, among other things. So, in the south, in Judea, and the north in Galilee, if a Jew wanted to go from one to the other, Samaria was right in the middle. What's the short way was to go straight through, which some people would do, but what people would often do is just to avoid crossing paths with the Samaritans at all, people would take the long route and circle all the way around. That was often the way people would do it, just to make sure they had no contact and no dealings with these people. So when Jesus goes straight through Samaria, we're supposed to hear that, and we're supposed to notice that. That's probably not what a religiously pure rabbi of that time would do. He goes straight through where the people that are different than he is would be. He doesn't avoid those that aren't Jews like he is. He doesn't keep the people that are different at arm's length. He doesn't treat with contempt those who have different religious and political views. He goes straight through Samaria. He goes where the non-believers would be. If he's going to reach people, he needs to go where non-believers are. According to a study that came out of the Gordon Conwell Center for the Study of Global Christianity, according to them, a study that came out, they said in our country, one out of five, 20% of non-Christians in our country, one out of five, don't know a single Christian. 20% of the non-Christians in our country literally do not know a Christian. That doesn't include people that could point to someone that they know that is a Christian, but they don't know them well. This is a huge number of people in our country that don't know Christ, literally do not even know a Christian. Statistics also show that for Christians in our country, after a person has been a Christian in our country for a mere 3 years. Statistically speaking, after 3 years of being a Christian, they will have zero meaningful relationships with people that aren't Christians. I just want to let that sink in for a minute. There is a culture that has developed in our country among Christians that is so separated off from people that don't know Christ, that typically in our country, after someone has been a Christian for 3 years, they have zero meaningful relationships with anybody who isn't a Christian themselves. But that is not Jesus' way. Jesus here goes directly to where the non-Christians, non-believers would be. One of the challenges that God has given us as a congregation is to, as already mentioned, is to make 200 personal invitations to people in our lives to join in participating in the life and ministry of Christ Church. And that's a big task. And by the way, you can keep track of how we're doing in your bulletin each week. We value this so much that we're actually keeping track because this is a way that we can step out, and it matters to us. And that's something that every single one of us is encouraged to be a part of. And we talked about this last week, that an invitation to someone who isn't a Christian, an invitation to someone who's distant from Christ and his church, is an opportunity for us to join in the miracle of what Jesus is doing. If you missed the sermon last week, go listen to it. Go to the website, christchurchmi.com, go listen to it, because it really does lay the foundation of a lot of what we're talking about. As we pass on what we've received, we actually become participants in the miracle of Jesus, not simply recipients of it. We can invite people to Sunday morning worship services, community life groups, children's Sunday school, youth group, Tuesday morning women's Bible studies, all of the above. Remember, The gospel message is so good that we want everyone to be invited. This is not a church growth strategy. This is not so we can have more people in the pews. This is for us to try to faithfully reach out to those who don't know Jesus, who are distant from him and his church, because the gospel message is so good that we want everyone to be invited. Now, for some of us, this challenge is very difficult, because if that statistic holds for us, we might not actually know in any sort of meaningful way those who are outside of the church. I mean, we might know people that don't go to this church, but typically, most of our relationships are with other Christians who may go here or elsewhere. When we stop and think about it, many of us will find that honestly, we don't really know well very many people that aren't already Christians. I mean, we have neighbors and coworkers, but often we just don't really know them terribly well. We're not close with them, and as a result, we can often end up ourselves in a position that we don't have anyone in our lives that we could invite even if we wanted to. Here's what this Invite 200 initiative has started to do in me. Here's the big question that I keep asking myself. Where can I go and what can I do to give myself opportunities to invite someone? Where can I go and what can I do in order to have an opportunity to invite someone? I mean, in my life, I can easily, without any difficulty at all, go an entire month without having any meaningful contact with someone outside the church. I mean, you know where I work, right? I mean, this would be very easy for me to go through an entire month with zero meaningful contact with anyone outside of the church. And perhaps you're like me. And so part of what we need to do is follow Jesus' example of intentionally and consistently going where non-Christians will be. Go to your children's activities and go with the explicit intention of meeting and getting to know people. Take your neighbor a holiday treat just to talk with them and begin to actually get to know them. Do something you enjoy. That's easy. Do something you enjoy and creatively find a way to do that with non-Christians. Not so you can go and preach to them, but so that you can actually get to know people outside of the church and, as you are able, invite them. Pray daily by name for people in your life that don't know Christ. Jesus reached out by going where non-Christians would be. Second, we see in this example from John chapter 4, Jesus reached out by initiating conversation. Look at verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Would you give me a drink?" And then verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" Culturally, Jesus had no business whatsoever speaking to this woman. John's first century readers would have been surprised that these two people even acknowledged each other's presence, much less spoke to each other. But Jesus reaches out to her and speaks to her. Jesus went to where non-believers would be, and he didn't just keep to himself when he got there. He crossed all sorts of boundaries, political, religious, ethnic boundaries, to initiate conversation with this woman. And we follow Jesus' example by initiating conversation with people. Taking on this Invite 200 initiative has also helped me sort of have my invitation radar on all the time. And I have found that to be very helpful. That does not for a second mean that I invite everybody I see. That would be very obnoxious, and people would not want to be around me. And I'm not advocating that for you. But it does mean that I'm looking at situations in a very different way. and my radar is going up, going off, just maybe this is an opportunity of somebody that I could speak to. Maybe this is an opportunity of someone that I could start a conversation with. For example, at my gym, lots of guys will chat with each other, and so what I find myself doing is just take the dumb earphones out so that I could talk with someone. Now, only once has that actually led to a conversation where I invited someone to come, but all of a sudden, just by taking them out and initiating conversation with the guys around me, I've been able to get to know people and learn names and even go so far as be able to invite someone here. Or recently at the grocery store, I approached a worker just for some help, but instead of starting by, hey, can you help me find the whatever, I just started by greeting him first and saying, you know, something simple like, hey, how are you? And he responded with what might be just about the best response I've ever heard from a grocery store worker. When I asked how he was doing, he just sort of smiled at me and said, well, I have the best job in the best store in the best state in the best nation in the world. I just feel like I would enjoy you as a person. And it caught me so off guard that was his response. I wasn't quick enough on my feet, but it occurred to me later, a few minutes later, what I wish I'd said in that moment. When he said, with a big smile on his face, I have the best job in the best state in the best nation of the world, I sort of wish I had been quick enough to follow up and say something like, that's awesome. Do you know the best Lord of that world? I mean, ultimately, all those things are wonderful blessings, but ultimately, they're rather insignificant compared to knowing the amazing love and transforming power of Jesus. Now, I didn't say that. I'm not smart enough to say that. But my hunch is that guy says stuff like that a lot, and I'm going to find him next time I go in, and I'm going to make up some reason to ask him how he's doing and see if this time I'm ready. Jesus reached out by initiating conversation. Third, we see that Jesus reached out by welcoming her. From the very beginning of this event, Jesus welcomes her. Someone who culturally he has no business even speaking with. She's different politically, religiously. Culturally, being a woman means that a single man shouldn't, just culturally, you didn't speak to, single men didn't speak to women in public very often. Certainly not privately in public. Or privately in public. One-on-one in a public environment. And then also, as we see at the beginning of verse 16, she also has moral issues, both in her past and present. It says she's been married 5 times and is currently living with a man she's not even married to. And yet, Jesus welcomes her. Jesus sees all of that and just pushes it aside and welcomes her. And that, of course, is what Jesus has done for all of us. He always calls us to higher levels of purity and uprightness and constantly calls us to follow him more closely. But for all of us, he pushes the differences and pushes the mistakes aside and welcomes us in love. When I invited a man that lives in my neighborhood to come to church, he looked at me sort of with a chuckle and said, I can't come to your church unless you're okay with a bolt of lightning striking when I walk through the door. And I sort of smiled back to him and I said, oh no, don't worry, you'll fit right in. I did say that one. None of us is perfect, not even remotely close. I know myself well enough to know that we are not even remotely close to perfection. And honestly, I know you well enough to know that none of us is remotely close to being perfect. But the point is that Jesus welcomes people like that. And I want you to realize that as a church reaches out to those who don't know Jesus, who are distant from Jesus, we find this amazing fact. Are you ready for this? Often, people that don't know Jesus act like they don't know Jesus. Shocking, I know. Why would we expect people that don't have the Spirit of God to act as if they did? Why would we expect people who don't know the transforming love of Jesus to act as if they did? No one gets upset when someone who's bruised and bloody goes into a hospital. That's where you're supposed to go when you're bruised and bloody. You don't have to get cleaned up in order to go in. That's where you go because you need the help. We don't expect people to have it all together in order to come to church. You don't have to clean yourself up in order to come to church. Thanks be to God, by the way, because we can't. That's part of the message of the gospel. You can't do that, but Jesus does it for you. The church should and will always have people who are at very different points along the journey. There are people in this room today who have been faithful Christians for decades and who have been formed by that over such a long period of time. And it's amazing to see what God has done in their lives for that long. And there are people in this room today who aren't really sure about this whole Jesus stuff at all. And that's great. I love the fact that as a church, we have people on all these different places along the journey. Now, to be clear, with everything in me, I want you to know Christ and accept Christ and follow after him and seek after him and be transformed by him in a way that nothing else and no one else can. But no matter where you are on the journey, whether at the very beginning, towards the end, been faithful for a long time, God has more for you. God always has more for you as we seek after him and follow after him. No matter where you are on the journey, you are always welcome here because you are always welcome with Jesus. Jesus sees this woman at the well whose past is littered with mistakes, and he welcomes her. He reaches out to her by welcoming her. Jesus reaches out by going where non-believers are. He reaches out by initiating conversation, not keeping to himself. And he reaches out by welcoming her. I want to give you one more. Jesus reaches out through this woman, inviting others. Do you notice that? Jesus reaches out through this woman, inviting others. Verse 28. The woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the towns and were coming to him. She encounters Jesus, and then immediately her desire is to go and invite the others in her life to come and do the same. We talked about this at length last week about the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus does the miracle, and he does it through the hands of his disciples and the people in the crowd. He does it, but he does it through his people as they do what he's called them to do. And here, Jesus reaches out to this Samaritan village through the witness of this woman, and we don't even have her name. Through the witness of this woman, salvation came to that town because of her willingness to invite them to come and have an encounter with Jesus. She joins in Jesus' work by going out and inviting others to have the experience that she's just had with Jesus. And Jesus does his work in them through the example of this woman. This woman plays an integral part in Jesus reaching her village, her neighborhood. Last fall, we did an experiment here in the congregation. One Sunday, I asked everybody to write down on a piece of paper what first brought them to Christ Church. Not why you loved it, why you stayed, not that. What first brought you to Christ Church? And what we found is over 95% of you that were here that week and wrote it down, over 95% said the reason you first came was because someone in your life invited you. Over 95% came because someone in their life took a risk and invited them to come. When those who have encountered Jesus personally begin to invite others, It's amazing how much that spreads. It's because the gospel message is so good that we want everyone to be invited. Because we've encountered Jesus, we want others to have that encounter as well. As the woman who met Jesus at the well had begun to experience his love and his welcome that she was looking for, her immediate action was to go and share that with others in her life. She knew others that didn't know Jesus. Up until that point, that was everybody she knew. She knew others that didn't know Jesus. She went where they were. She initiated conversation with them in order to tell them about this man Jesus that she had just encountered and has already begun to change her life. And she reaches out and invites them to come and experience Jesus as well. And Jesus reached out to them through her witness and through her actions. And we have the same opportunity that this woman at the well had, for Jesus to do the work that only he can do, but to do it in the way that he so often does, which is use his people in the way as he calls us to do his work. He does the work and so often gives us this incredible blessing of being a part of it. As we intentionally and strategically reach into the neighborhoods that God has specifically led us to target, Lynxbrook, Collins Creek, and the Bays, as we intentionally partner with and try to reach with ministry the people at the Thrive facility down the street, we have the opportunity to be like this woman at the well, one who encounters Jesus and then shares that with others and sees the incredible blessing of God doing his work and doing his miracle through her as she did that. Jesus reached out by going where non-believers would be. He reached out by initiating conversation. He reached out by welcoming someone who was very, very different than he was. And he reached out through her as she invited others to him. May we be a church that does the same, that follows Jesus' example of reaching out to others in his name. May we be people who love others enough to take a risk, to reach out, to invite others to encounter God himself, to encounter Jesus Christ. That's our vision for the future. That's our calling. And honestly, that's God's promise to us, to reach out himself as we faithfully go where he's calling us to go. So I invite you and I challenge you to take up this call to reach out, to invite others, to creatively figure out how to target real individual people in these places that God's called us to go, to join in the miracle that Jesus is going to do in people's lives, to share our encounter with Jesus, to share that encounter with the world, with others around us, to join in God's work in the world, as our mission statement says. Because the gospel message really is so good that we want everyone to be invited. Amen.